One announcement that I forgot. Michelle Slender is looking for some good men. About a dozen of you for the April 5th Easter program. And you'll notice a little picture in your bulletin. And that guy that's leaning over talking to Jesus, Jesus said to him, if you want to be in the picture, you got to be on this side of the table. Anyway, she's looking for a few good men, 12 of you. So give her a call or talk to her after church, okay? You have a number of scriptures in your bulletin. We will use them all. And we need to pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today through your truth about this dragon of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in a series of messages which I am using called Dragons of the Mind, and these dragons of the mind are things that we all have in us in varying sizes and shapes, but there are things like fear and worry, which I've already talked about. How about anger? How about guilt? Inner turmoil, shame, bondage, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, which is today, doubt. That's just to mention a few of them. And dragons of the minds are things that haunt us in our mind, and they loom over us like huge fire-breathing dragons. I have a cut out of the Two Towers of the Lord of the Rings, which kind of gives you an idea of how these things rise up in front of us, inside of us. It's sort of a vision of something. Our lives, our future, our ability to live fully in the present is often blocked by these dragons of the mind. We get paralyzed by these dragons who guard the roads in our minds which lead to fulfillment or health or peace in terms of how we live our lives. And today I want to deal with what I consider the second worst dragon besides the two-headed dragon of fear and worry. This dragon is the dragon of unforgiveness, and it looms over us in our minds, and it keeps us from restoring relationships with people because we hold grudges against people. We just will not forgive people their sins against us, and most of the time, it's people who are close to us. And we lock them in the prisons of our minds, and then a huge beast, a dragon of the mind, guards those prisons. And not only do we lock other people into these prisons in our minds, we even lock God into this prison at times. And then we set this huge dragon in front of that door, and it's called unforgiveness. And it's like we set Satan, ultimate dragon, the serpent himself, to guard the doors which lock God in. Let me ask you a couple of questions. This is reflective in a lot of ways. Who do you have locked up in the prison of your mind? And who are guarded by this dragon of unforgiveness? Who have you not forgiven? Who do you hold a grudge against? Now, if you would envision this, if you saw this person and he or she came into this church and they sat down right beside you, are you holding a grudge against God? I run into people all the time who have him locked away in that prison of their mind. The dragon of unforgiveness stands ready to burn anyone who dares to escape the prisons of our minds where we keep those who have committed crimes against us, sins against us. Finally, in our minds, there's one other person prison cell that a lot of us have, and we have another dragon guarding it, and it's called guilt. Do you feel guilty about something in your life? Do you feel like your hands are covered with blood? Do you feel unclean? If so, you're dealing with a dragon of guilt who walks very closely with this dragon of unforgiveness. Is the person who you hold in prison, who you will not forgive, you? What have you done that is so bad that you will not even forgive yourself? Today we will deal with the dragon of unforgiveness. In a couple of weeks we will pick up on the dragon of guilt. The dragon of unforgiveness is an unforgiving heart, a lack of forgiveness within us towards other people or even God or maybe even ourselves. Now we know that forgiveness, now we know this, right? Forgiveness is a popular accepted principle which was clearly taught and illustrated and ultimately demonstrated by Jesus. Forgiveness is universally respected in promoting harmony in relationships and keeping fellowship between people. How many of us look upon forgiveness as crucial for our own personal or maybe spiritual or emotional or psychological or even our physical health? Do you also realize that the dragon of unforgiveness is a major contributor to the darkness within your own life? And that this dragon can cause you great distress, dis-ease, and even death. Take a moment and look at your life and emotional patterns. Is there anyone who you would say, oh, he gives me a pain in the neck and other places? Or I can't stand to be in the same room with her. Or he makes me sick to my stomach. Or something along that line. Is there someone who, if they were to come to church here, you would consider quit coming? Ex-spouse? An enemy? You know, when divorce occurs, and it occurs fairly regularly, actually, a great number of times, there is a question that comes with the divorce. Who gets the church in the settlement? What do you think? Are we dealing with a dragon of unforgiveness at that time? Have you ever been so upset with someone you couldn't eat or sleep? Have you ever been so mad that you got physically ill or developed a killer headache or something? Think about it. Who would you hate to see walk into this sanctuary today? You know, as long as that person doesn't show up, the dragon sleeps. But if he or she were to show up this morning, the dragon would awaken. The dragon of unforgiveness. You know, I become a target for some people because I represent God, and because I represent God, I am the focal point of their unforgiveness. They have blamed God for something in their lives, and since I happen to be His representative here on earth, I'm the recipient of the dragon's breath. Now, let me cut to the bottom line on this dragon and how we rid ourselves of this dragon. And then we'll back up and do the work of examination of unforgiveness. The way the dragon of unforgiveness is brought down and cast out is the same way that the dragon of fear and worry is dealt with. We know that perfect love casts out fear. That love is the love of God working in and through us. I have a cut from the third movie in The Lord of the Rings, and this woman is dealing with a dragon, and she is going to behead it. But the reason that she is standing firm in front of this dragon, this one of the Nazgul there, is because of love, because her father is laying on the ground beside her. Now, you're not going to stand in front of that beast unless there's a reason. Ultimately, we cast the dragon of fear out of our lives because we know we are loved by God and He will care for us. The same is true of the dragon of unforgiveness. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, and I have it printed four different ways in four different translations, and I'd like us to just read through all four of them. Here we go. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all over all wrongs. Hatred stirs old quarrels, but love overlooks insults. Now, all four of those have a little bit of different twists. If you take the word hatred and just change it to unforgiveness, love covers a multitude of sins. Now, a sin is an offense against you. A sin against God is an offense against God. So a sin against you is someone going against what you think is right or against the rule that you have in your life. That's what a sin is, and sometimes it's committed against us. Now, the way that you pay for sin is either by retribution or restitution. You either get punished or you make some sort of payment. That's how it's covered. But some sins against us can only be covered by forgiveness. You can never make good on them, and God has said that it is love that will cover those sins. Otherwise, they don't get covered. Now, we are supposed to be filled with God's love, which not only can cast out the dragon of fear, but it also allows us to have a forgiving heart as well. How much love do you have? The dragon of unforgiveness is not God's way, and this dragon is not healthy to have around. Jesus repeatedly emphasized that His followers are to be a forgiving people. We are to take seriously His words. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So the bottom line is how much of God's love is in your heart. Now let's walk through some thoughts. Unforgiveness. Do a little bit of self-examination here. Read with me Luke 17, 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. Notice it says the first four words may be as important as the whole rest of the thing. Take heed to yourselves. This is about your forgiving heart. It has to do with your well-being. If someone sins against you, you can point it out to them, but if they ask for forgiveness, you must forgive them. So says Jesus. Not me. Hey, don't put this on me. God said it. It's pretty straightforward. The problem is, would any of us put up with someone who sinned against us seven times in a day? Take him out to the woodshed, right? Some people draw the line at one, some two, or maybe three at the most, but some people draw the line at one for life. When Jesus uses the number seven, he is holding up a figure that pushes the limits of toleration. Seven times in one day really means unlimited forgiveness. Notice Jesus also says, you must forgive him. Have you ever asked someone to forgive you, knowing that you were in the wrong, only to have that person say, go away, I will not forgive you? Jesus says that we have no choice in the matter. I know that some of you will not hear me because you are living in the shadow of the dragon who guards the prison where you keep people locked up for their sins against you. But there is a price to pay for this dragon. You live in the shadow of a dragon that can lock you up as well. And Jesus says that we are to forgive those who come asking for forgiveness. When some of us hear these words, though, the dragon is disturbed in his sleep, buddy, and we hear him growl. Now, there's another part of this truth that is even more difficult and painful, and all of us face it. It really does arouse the dragon of unforgiveness. What do we do with those people who hurt us, who sin against us, but who never get around to apologizing? Read with me Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Now let me change a word or two and see if you can hear the dragon of unforgiveness bellow in your mind. Lord, how often shall my husband, my wife, my ex-husband, my ex-wife, my daughter, my son, my father, my mother, my friend, my pastor, my church, my plumber, my doctor, my boss, or my coworker sin against me and I forgive them? Can you hear the dragon? Like a threatening thunderstorm, and it bellows. See, Jesus in these words gives us a large number to say that love keeps no score and that forgiveness has nothing to do with arithmetic. What's more important in this scripture is that Jesus omits that part that we read earlier, if he repents, forgive him, implying that forgiveness of another human being is not dependent on that person eating humble pie or crow and apologizing appropriately. So what is the basis of our forgiveness? Well, it is the amount of God's love that is in us and that determines the possibility of forgiveness in the first place. It's the amount of God's love in us. Read with me Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You can change that to sins if you want. Forgive as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. Jesus says that your life is one of unlimited forgiveness if we choose to be selective about it. Whom we are to forgive, whom we are not going to forgive, then we have imposed this same limitation and selectivity on our Heavenly Father's forgiveness of us. Personally, I don't know about you, but I need all the grace, mercy, and forgiveness God has to give. Lack of forgiveness on my part not only breaks fellowship in my human relationships, do you realize that? If you won't let something go, you're not in fellowship with people. And you know who the people that do it to you? The ones that are closest. You know, I can't walk with that too long because I live in the shadow of this dragon. And when you walk and live in the shadow of the dragon, Satan the serpent, and his minions like the dragon of unforgiveness, you're in living hell. Some of you may be experiencing that right now. And it may be the shadow of the dragon of a broken relationship or broken fellowship with someone who is close to you because you have an unforgiving heart towards them. One more teaching of Jesus on the subject of the dragon of unforgiveness. Read with me Mark 11, 24 and 5. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, there's a hard truth here, but it is a truth nonetheless. There may be a person in your life right now, or it could be later, or it may be in the past, and you already dealt with it. And then you could amen what I'm saying up here. A person who will never offer an apology. There may be a person who will never forgive you and be reconciled with you. Jesus states it very clearly with no possible mistake here. The burden is not on the other person. It is on the one doing the praying. Once again, you who have ears to hear, may you hear. Do you hear it? Do the words of Jesus and the bellow of that dragon of unforgiveness, do you hear it? You know, we have no control over other people's attitudes and actions, but we are responsible for our own attitudes and actions. Consider the relationship between prayer and forgiveness in Jesus' words here. If some of our prayers seem to go nowhere, and if some of our deepest prayers apparently remain unanswered, we would do well to look closely at all of our relationships. An unforgiving heart, according to Jesus, is an unacceptable heart in prayer. So let me give you some advice in your prayer time. When you pray, sit quietly and ask the Lord to bring to mind anyone whom you need to forgive. If someone comes to mind, then ask the Holy Spirit to give you enough love so that you can see that person with the eyes of Jesus and to forgive with the Lord's forgiving love. Of course, when you do this, it will probably stir up the dragon, and you may end up in a pitched battle with the dragon of unforgiveness. But with Christ's love and His word, you can fight this dragon and at some point, slay it. A couple years ago, I did a message here called Great Expectations, and some of you might want to check it out in our stuff here as an additional resource on this message. Because when it comes to the dragon of unforgiveness, we need to continue to look at our personal expectations of other people and life in general. By the way, when you get the next newsletter, I've dealt with that. You know, there may be someone who has failed to meet your expectations. A father or a mother, a son or a daughter, a brother, sister, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son or daughter-in-law, a husband or a wife, a friend or a neighbor. A friend right here in church. You know, see, sometimes we do that. We have relationships with one another, therefore we know we can rub up against each other. How about me? The pastor. A co-worker. Maybe it's your boss. Or God. Or even yourself. Check your personal expectations continuously. What are your personal expectations of others? Who told you to have those expectations in the first place? Let me tell you a great truth. This world doesn't owe you anything, and neither do the people in it. Who told you to keep score in the first place? Possibly you are disappointed in yourself or for failing to meet your own expectations of yourself. Sometimes when we deal with the dragon of unforgiveness, it starts with the dragon standing over our own cell in our own prison. And of course, there are those people out there, the strangers, who treat us indifferently. And you put all that together and it can spell resentment and bitterness and revenge and hostility and, as that first scripture said, hatred. Unresolved resentments are unforgiveness, and unforgiveness causes us to break fellowship and to break relationships with people, and even worse, with Jesus Himself. Human relationships can become very complicated. Can I hear an amen? Human relationships can become very complicated. Some people hurt us deeply with little sensitivity to our personal feelings. My Christian conscience tells me I know I should forgive and forget, while the dragon of unforgiveness breathes his fire on my ulcer and the tightness and tenseness in my muscles in my neck. And when we see the dragon and we say, no way am I going to let this go and forgive, how do we get rid of these hurts, these insults, these sins against us, our bitter resentments? Because of our human nature, we all need God's help with this area of our lives. We cannot fight this dragon without God's help. It has to be Christ Jesus working through us, helping us to battle the dragon of unforgiveness in our minds. We cannot wait until we feel like forgiving someone before we forgive. Forgiveness is not an act that is prompted by feelings. It is an act of the will. Now remember that word. It's an act of the will. In difficult situations, when you simply cannot bring yourself to forgive, ask this question: am I willing to let Jesus soften my hardened, unbending, unforgiving heart and attitude as a beginning to genuine forgiveness? Are you? Are you willing to let Jesus help? Our Heavenly Father honors that kind of honesty and does give us power and love to forgive. Love is work. Let me say it again. Love is work. And so is forgiveness. And remember that our emotions change slowly, much slower than the decision-making processes of the mind. Fighting dragons is not a matter of feelings. Fighting dragons is a matter of the will. You don't fight when you feel like it. You fight when the battle comes upon you. It is not unusual for a person's emotions to lag behind their intellectual decisions. Now, we are created in God's image. And we have been given dominion on this earth as His people. You have the authority to forgive or not to forgive. You are the only person who can forgive those who sin against you. I don't forgive those who sin against you. I have nothing to do with that. That's your place. And that's why Jesus spoke to us about that. Read Matthew 18:18 with me. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. By the way, somebody said, what does that mean, lose? And that means to let go of something. Whatever you let go on earth shall be let go in heaven. Now, we not only have the authority to put people in prison, but we have the authority to set them free as well. We have the right and the responsibility to slay the dragon of unforgiveness, to open the doors to the prisons in our minds which hold people because of their sins against me. Can you open those doors and say, your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. As in all matters of faith and practice, we look to Jesus, our model for life, our teacher. By His personal example, Jesus demonstrated what it means to forgive. Whenever forgiveness is called for, whether or not we feel like it or not. When He was dying on the cross, He did not wait until His enemies apologized. He did not wait until He was feeling good before He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When Jesus prayed and spoke those words, the dragon, the Satan, the serpent, bellowed in dread, and the dragon of unforgiveness was cast down. If anyone had the right to be unforgiving, it was the innocent crucified Jesus who died expressing forgiveness. If you call Him Lord and you take His name and call Him Master, you forfeit all rights and privileges to withhold forgiveness. That is the eternal truth. Look to Jesus, buddy. to give you the love to do the battle with this dragon, the dragon of unforgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, we all have them in our lives, and sometimes we just won't let it go. Lord, help us to forgive those that we hold in this life, prisoners, in Jesus' name, amen.